Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, today we are celebrating our Made New Baptism service, and we are going to be baptizing a few people this morning, and we're going to do that in just a few minutes, and excited about that. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year. We do our Made New Baptism service a couple times a year, and always look forward to it, and we're going to be doing that in just a few moments. But I want to take a look and spend a few moments in God's Word as we are continuing week two of our series called Outcast. If you weren't here with us last week, we started this new series, and it's based on the idea of the people that Jesus welcomed, the people that society would deem as outcasts. And it was interesting, as Brett and Sydney shared this morning, that it seems like there are a lot of people in South Africa that would be deemed as outsiders or outcasts, and that it's our job as believers to take the gospel to all people, not just people that have the same skin color as us or have the same values, but to take it to everybody. And that's exactly what Jesus was all about, that Jesus went to those that society labeled as an outcast or an outsider because of their past or because of their social group or whatever it may be. That we saw from the text last week that Jesus illustrated three different stories: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the lost son, about how important the lost are to Jesus. That it's important to him to go seek and save the lost, but in response, we should do the same thing. That as disciples of Christ, what matters to him should matter to us. And clearly, the lost, the outcast, matter to Jesus. So they should in turn matter to us. And so I want to take a look at another story today, another illustration out of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll be up on the screen if you'd like. But the whole idea and the concept behind this is God is in the restoration business. God wants to restore people back into the family of God. And so this story is another example of restoration. It's probably familiar if you've been around church for any length of time, or if you've taught Sunday school or children's ministry, this story is probably familiar to you. So let's look at Luke's gospel, chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. I promise no short jokes today. Maybe. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen. Zacchaeus was an outcast. Zacchaeus was an outcast. He was hated for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was hated because he was a Jew. And he is sided with the Romans. He is sided with the government. That he has abandoned his tribe. He has abandoned his people to be a tax collector. So immediately there's this divide between he and his people. On top of that, not only has he sided with the government, on top of that he is a tax collector. Tax collectors were notorious for taking more than what the people owed by telling people you owe more, and they would pocket the money. So everybody knew about Zacchaeus. They knew he was a tax collector, he sided with the government, and he's a thief. So Jesus comes along. And Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming. But, as within most of Jesus' ministry, a crowd has formed. People are wanting to see what Jesus is going to do, the miracles that he's going to perform. So just hordes of people are traveling with Jesus wherever he goes. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a short man. So he couldn't see Jesus coming. The crowd was too great. The Bible says that to get a better vantage point, he had to climb up the sycamore fig tree to see Jesus over the crowd. You know, it's the visual picture of Zacchaeus climbing into a tree. It's like when you go to a parade with your kids. And, you know, when they're little and they can't see above the crowd, and so you have to hold them up and prop them up so they can see. This past Thanksgiving, our family was really blessed to be able to take a vacation at Thanksgiving time. And we decided we were going to go to Virginia, spend the week of Thanksgiving up there. And while we were there, Rebecca and I had this crazy idea that we're here in northern, you know, in the northeast area. Washington, D.C. is not very far away from us, and then beyond that, New York City is not even that far away from that. What if we took our kids to the Macy's Day Parade? What if we did that? When are we ever going to be back in this area of the country at Thanksgiving? So we decided to see if we could find some cheap hotels to stay in and to make our way from Virginia up to Washington, D.C. and into New York City. And everything worked out. That doesn't happen for us. It just doesn't. But everything lined up into place. And so we went up to Washington, D.C., spent the day there. Then we traveled up to New York City on Wednesday. We walked around and saw some sights. And then we decided to stay overnight. And we stayed in New Jersey and woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to take the train into New York City. And here we are going to see the Macy's Day Parade. Now, you can't, just for future reference, if you ever do this, just, you know, if you want to know, you can't go to Herald Square if you're just a nobody like us. You have to, like, Herald Square and Macy's, like, we came out of the subway and it's like, oh, there it is. And they're like, go, you can't stand here. Go, move. Like, why not? There's all these seats. No. You have to be a corporate sponsor and all these other things. So they just, you know, shovel us common people further down the parade route. So we walk and we finally find a place to sit. It seemed like 5 miles away down the parade route. By 7 o'clock in the morning, the parade route was like 3 rows deep of people. The parade didn't start until like 10 or something like that, and it's like 28 degrees. And so as the parade is starting, people are gathered around, and my youngest, Abigail and Isaac, they couldn't really see above the crowd. I'm like, there is no way I am holding these kids up for the length of the duration of this parade. So I'm like, just be forewarned, I'll pop you up and put you back down. Because they couldn't see over the crowd. They needed a better vantage point. A blessing beyond that was the people in front of us. Their kids went to the front. They brought in 2 stools. And they're like, hey, if your kids want to use the stools, they can stand on the stools. Yes! So we popped the kids up on the stools, and they watched the parade from there. They got a better vantage point to see all the floats and everything that was going by. It was an amazing experience for them, but had they not had that vantage point, they would have missed out on a lot of the floats and the things that were going by. Now, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because of the same reason that my kids couldn't see the parade, because of the crowd. And so Zacchaeus had to do something. He had to change his point of view to see Jesus. You see, sometimes it's important for us to change our point of view, to change our vantage point to see God in our lives. That we can sit and look at our circumstances, or we can see things from one perspective and go, I can't see anything, God. I don't know what's going on. But Zacchaeus said, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to climb up a tree so I can see Jesus. Now, it's interesting to note that Zacchaeus could have easily sat back with his arms crossed going, God, why did you make me so short? If I was 5 inches taller, 5 feet taller, whatever, I could have seen Jesus, but you made me short. It's your fault, God, and grumbled and complained and whined and missed Jesus. But rather than complaining about his current viewpoint, rather than complaining about his station in life, he said, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to climb a tree so I can see Jesus. I'm going to change my point of view. I can't change my height. I can't do anything about that, but I can change my point of view. How many times do we need to change our point of view to see God at work in our lives, to see God move in our lives? But rather, we sit back and we complain, God, you did this, or you didn't do this, and this is the reason I'm, and we miss God. Perhaps God is saying, change your point of view. Do something. Zacchaeus could have easily sat back and not done anything, but he said, you know what? I'm going to go climb a tree. I'm going to climb a tree so I can see Jesus come by. So as Zacchaeus changes his point of view, gets out of his comfort zone, decides to climb this tree, an amazing thing happens. Jesus calls out to him. You see, we may not realize the significance of what happened and the significance of the importance of Jesus calling out to him. But Zacchaeus was called out by Jesus because he changed his vantage point, because he changed his situation. Instead of complaining, he may have missed Jesus that day because he decided to bellyache about all of his problems, because he wanted to complain about everything that was wrong with his life. But he didn't. And Jesus called out to him that day. And we see the crowd's reaction to Zacchaeus and the crowd's reaction to Jesus. That as Zacchaeus has climbed in this tree, and now the crowd is muttering, that the Bible says that they're muttering, Jesus is going to go to this sinner's house. They knew who Zacchaeus was. It was everybody in the community knew of Zacchaeus. They knew that he was a tax collector and he was a thief and everything else. They had labeled him an outcast. And now Jesus calls out to him and says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house today. Okay, Jesus wants to come to my house. That's awesome. And the Bible says that he welcomed Jesus gladly. It means that Zacchaeus was full of joy because of his encounter with Jesus. In that moment, Zacchaeus wasn't concerned about anybody, what they thought about him, what they said about him, anything else. His thought, his main concern was that Jesus has called out to me, and he was full of joy. He was full of joy because of Jesus. An observation is that we can only truly be full of joy through Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bring us. We can have moments of happiness. We can have days where things are going, but there's the only joy, that the sustaining joy of Jesus is the only thing that lasts forever. We can wake up one day and everything is wonderful and we're happy. Like we sang that, oh, happy day, it's great, but then happiness can fade when we get a flat tire. But I can still have joy because of Jesus, even in the middle of the flat tires of life. Jesus is truly the one that can bring us joy. Despite about what people say, despite what we're labeled, we can find joy through Jesus. And having joy is a very appropriate response for Zacchaeus. Not guilt, not shame. Oh my gosh, these are all the things that I've done. And just cower because of the things that he's done. But he had joy in that moment because Jesus called out to him. See, and it's important for us that we all have joy as well because of what Jesus has done for us. He's provided a way for us to be part of the family of God. Another observation is that when Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus changed his ways. We see a man who was a thief has now found generosity. Look what Zacchaeus says. When Jesus calls out to him, he comes down from the tree, and everybody is muttering and complaining, Jesus is going to go have dinner at the sinner's house. All the people saw this, verse 7, and began to mutter. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. Zacchaeus was wealthy. We don't know if it was just the wealth that he got from stealing from people, if his family was wealthy. We don't know exactly. All we know is that he was a wealthy man. And now he says, I'm giving half my possessions to the poor. Half of them. How many of you, if you had to leave half of your stuff, if tomorrow you were given the choice, you have to get out of your house and you can only take half your stuff? Hallelujah. Yeah. If you really think about it, would you really miss the 50% you had to leave behind? Probably not. We collect stuff. We are blessed as Americans. We are truly blessed that we can sit on our phones or on our computers and have stuff delivered us instantaneously. Stuff that we think that we need. Oh man, I really need that. It's on sale. It's $2 off. I need it. And our house just collects full of stuff. You could probably go into your attic or your garage and wipe out all of it and in 2 weeks never even worry about it. We are blessed as a people. We could give away half of our stuff. When we moved to Kansas, when we were from Florida to Kansas, we rented the biggest U-Haul truck we could find. And when we moved from Kansas back to Florida, we had more stuff. I mean, well, this is the same size truck. Why doesn't everything fit in it? We accumulated more stuff, so we had to make a choice. We have to leave some stuff behind because there's no way we can drive two trucks. We can't ship anything, so we have to make some choices. I can stand here confidently today and say all the stuff that we left behind, I could care less about. Means nothing to me. I don't miss my stuff. Zacchaeus says, 50% of my stuff, it's gone. I'm giving it to the poor. I'm giving it to the needy. He finds generosity. He finds, through finding joy in Jesus, he realizes, I want to help people. I want to give to, instead of taking, I want to give. What if we lived that same way? What if we had that same generosity in our lives? Because of the joy we have found in Jesus, we have that same generosity to say, I don't need this stuff. I don't need to buy this stuff. How about I help people who do need it? I'm not saying that you have to go home today and say, we've got to sell half our possessions. The pastor said we got to sell half our stuff. I'm not saying that. But if God tells you to, you better do it. I'm not telling you have to, but if the Holy Spirit impresses upon you to do it, then you better do it. We can be generous in our daily lives without selling half of our belongings. We can be generous because of the joy that we have found in Jesus. Zacchaeus goes on to say that he is going to, if he has swindled anybody, if he's taken anything from anybody, he will give back four times the amount. Now, under the law, it was customary that if you stole from somebody, you gave two times the amount. He goes beyond that. He says, no. I'm going to give four, I'm going to pay them back and then four times the amount. Jesus never told him he had to do that. The law didn't say that he had to do that. Zacchaeus, in his generosity, says, I'm going to give back everything that I took and then four times as much. He responded by faith because of what Jesus had done in his life. And it shows us that a wealthy person can be a disciple of Christ. You know, many people point to the example of the rich young ruler when he comes up to Jesus and Jesus says, sell all of your belongings, and he goes off and, well, I can't do that. Jesus doesn't mean that you cannot have wealth and be a disciple. It's a matter of the heart. Zacchaeus' heart was in the right place when it came to his possessions. He immediately went to Jesus and said, I'm gonna give away half of my stuff, and I'm gonna pay back everybody four times as much. Jesus understood his heart. And immediately he calls him a disciple, welcomes him into the family of God. Jesus knew his heart, and his heart with his possessions. Zacchaeus responded in faith and makes a decision to sell half of his stuff. It shows the generosity of his heart. His heart was in the right place when it came to his belongings. See, we can learn from his example to be willing to be free and generous with the stuff that we have, with our finances. Great joy can be found in giving and helping those in need. Zacchaeus realized that something amazing has happened in his life, that Jesus has welcomed him in, that he's not just called a tax collector or a sinner, that Jesus has welcomed him into the family of God. And he responds in faith and responds in generosity to help others. Zacchaeus ultimately was lost, but now he was found. It goes right in line with the stories and the illustrations that Jesus talked about, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. Jesus' mission was to seek and to save those who are lost. And that's ultimately our mission as well. I bet very few people in Zacchaeus' community ever thought that he was ever going to change his ways. That's Zacchaeus. He's the same guy. He's going to keep stealing from people. He's going to keep doing the same thing. He's never going to change his ways until he met Jesus. How many people have we labeled that? They're never going to change their ways. They're never going to do anything. But yet an encounter with Jesus will change their life. Zacchaeus went from an outcast to be adopted into the family of God. Somebody that nobody wanted anybody to do with. And now Jesus says, I'm going to go have dinner at your house. Zacchaeus was written off, despised, rejected. But his life was changed with an encounter with Jesus. He found true joy in Jesus that day because he knew, I'm adopted into God's family. My life has changed. Jesus sought Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus changed his point of view. And his life was forever changed that day sitting in a tree. I wonder how many people that we come in contact with, that their lives could be forever changed because of our encounter and sharing the message of Jesus with them. The people that have been labeled an outcast by society. And I know there's probably most of us in this room go, there's no way I would ever label anybody that way. I love people. I love God. I love the Bible. I come to church. But sometimes our flesh gets in the way and we label people and we put them in categories and criteria. Well, all the things that they've done in their past, I don't really know that God can really do anything with them. I'm telling you what, we cannot put any labels. We should not put anybody in any classification. Just simply say, God, use me. Let me go to the Zacchaeuses of the world. Let me go seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus was given a new lease on life because of an encounter with Jesus. His life was changed because of Jesus. And today, in just a few moments, we are going to celebrate lives that have been changed because of Jesus. Our Made New baptism celebration is truly that, is a way for us to celebrate the lost being found, welcomed into the family of God. That baptism is a way for us to show what God has done in our lives, that the encounter with Jesus has changed us. So we have a few individuals that have already signed up and said, I want to be baptized today. I want to proclaim to the world that I love Jesus. And I want to share the whole world that the old is gone and the new has come. And so we're going to celebrate that in a few moments. But I want to encourage, if there is anybody here today and you say, you know what, I want to be baptized. I didn't come today. I wasn't prepared to be baptized. That's okay. We have towels. We have extra t-shirts. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you from saying, I want to proclaim that Jesus is my Savior. My life has been changed. I was lost and now I'm found. I want to proclaim to the world that Jesus is the Lord of my life. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to remember God and His goodness and what Jesus has done. That when we sang that song in the very beginning, that our sins are washed away. That the old is gone. And when you're baptized, people ask this question, do you have to be baptized to get into heaven? No, you don't. You do not have to be baptized to go into heaven, but why not? Why not proclaim the old is gone and the new is here, that I have a new life in Christ? To step into that and to celebrate, to be that symbol of something change, a symbol of life change. And so right now, I want to those of you that have already signed up to be baptized, I'm going to ask you to stand and to go off to the side. And if there's anybody else, if you want to be baptized, just go out these side doors. I'm going to meet you right over there. So can we give a big hand to those getting baptized today? And anybody else that wants to be baptized, this is your time, this is your opportunity. It's a great day to celebrate life change. It's a great opportunity for us to celebrate with them the declaration that Jesus is the Lord of their life. And so what we want to do is, in just a few moments, I'm going to meet them up in the baptism tank, and let's celebrate. This truly is a day of celebration. As Zacchaeus was lost and now he's found, that we are going to celebrate with individuals today that say, you know what, I was lost, but I found Jesus. He found me, and my life is forever changed. And if at any point you say, you know what, I missed my opportunity, you have not missed your opportunity. If you want to be baptized at any point, come through those doors, and we'll meet you right over there. Today is a great day for you to say, today I want to tell the world that I believe in Jesus, that He is the Lord of my life. And so what we would like to do at this time is I want to take a moment, and I want to pray for the individuals that are getting baptized, and then we've got a short video that we're going to watch, and that we're going to be baptizing this morning. Amen. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can come into this place and celebrate your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you for the example of Zacchaeus, that he changed his perspective, he changed his life, he changed everything with an encounter because of you. And Jesus, every single one of us, those that have experienced that life change, may we continue to walk in that every day, and that we would never label or deem anybody an outcast, but welcome them into the family of God and to be your hands and feet and to show them love. And God, if there's anybody here today that feels like they've been an outcast, may they not feel that, to know that you are a loving, caring God who welcomes them with open arms into the family of God. God, we thank you so much again for this day. Thank you for those that are making the declaration to declare Jesus is the Lord of their life. And we get to celebrate them on this special day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.